Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I know you're probably tired from the DC fandom, but guess what? Here with your friends at Rewind, Replay, Record. My name is Brian, and I am joined, as always, by...
Edwin. How's it going, everybody?
How you doing, sir?
Sir, hot and tired.
Jesus Christ. It has been, I think, 3 degrees for the past, like, over... triple-digit weather for the past month now, and it doesn't seem to be lighting up at any point or anything. I think the weekend, it's going to start going into the 90s, which, come on. Like, if you're sitting there going like, hey, we're getting a break today. It's 98. You know something's going on.
I mean, it is summer. I get it. Normally, it's longer. I mean, at night, at least here, it kind of cools down a little bit. But yeah, it's been pretty bad.
Just started getting the cool down effect out here in the Antelope Valley. It was still like in the 80s and 90s at night at times, where it was just like, son of a bitch. Yeah, you can't even open a window up or anything.
Nope.
But, that's what's going on. So, hey, since we last talked and everything, we kind of talked off air a little bit about something we didn't bring up last episode. You have a new hobby.
Yeah, B-Ray. It's pretty embarrassing, but it's fun.
Yeah, that's all that matters. So what type of hobby is this?
Enamel pins. I was just waiting for people to stop laughing.
So all right, no, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
right. I'm pretending we're on an episode of The Big Bang Theory. You said a joke. We pause.
Yeah.
And then I say reply. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, kind of. It kind of started with Ava's mom giving us gifts because she lives in Florida. So there's a Disney store. So she knew that last year, we went to Disneyland and, you know, got a pin or two.
Yeah.
And so she sent us over some pins that we liked last year. And then that kind of sparked everything. I'm like, oh, you know, I remember liking these. Let's open them up and see if we can get a set, complete a set. Because every month, I guess they release some. I didn't realize how big this whole pin world really actually was.
Oh, yeah. It used to be like an underground thing for years, and it was a huge, you would see, if you go to Disneyland, you'd see off in the corners, like, people making deals, trading, and it was just these pins that everyone seemed to gravitate towards that Disney made, and then Disney found out about the fandom around it, and they started like, hey, guess what? We're going to make specialty pins and stuff, and everything.
Yeah, I really wasn't into it. I feel like I can't get into this. There's just so much to learn. And this was last year. I'm like, no, I'm just gonna, if I like something, if I go to Disneyland and if I need like a souvenir to remind me of the trip, I'll get something. You know, so I got one, you know, a few, you know, I think it all started out with like a Halloween related Disney one. And that's kind of how it started, but then stopped. And then when we got our new ones as gifts, that kind of sparked the fire. And as it went on, Ava got into, you know, her collecting. She got really like, oh, I want to get something for a pin for every park from Disneyland and or every classic Disney movie. And for me, I'm like, you know, I guess I'll do villains. I mean, because I like the villains. I didn't like the cutesy, you know, pins, but like, yeah. Oh, I'll do some of the villains. And then when Mondo started to release their Marvel ones, I'm like, oh, and I was just watching all the Marvel movies again. And then, boom, I decided to buy a few. And that kind of got out of control. As you can see, the picture that I just sent you.
It is quite, the thing is, it's really, really freaking cool. It looks like it's old style Marvel characters looking like you have the Fantastic Four, you got Daredevil, you got Storm in a mohawk, my favorite Storm look. You got, it looks like Silver Surfer, Mysterio, Green Goblin, different versions of Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse. You got just got a lot, and this is actually going to be the cover part of the cover art for the episode, so you guys can take a look at it as well. And you got even like some really cool ones I like down here, which were the X-Men Arcade character select screen.
That's pins. Probably one of my favorites. The arcade versions of them.
Yeah.
It's not a mon, because I think at the time I'm like, oh, I'm just going to get just the artist.
Yeah.
Eri, I was just getting so obsessed. I want just this artist only.
I want his collection and only collection. Yeah.
Completely, you know, that whole idea went out the window when I saw the early 90s X-Men arcade pins that a different artist did. I'm like, oh, fuck, I have to get these. And that's when I decided, you know what? I'll just make it strictly Marvel, regardless of the artist.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was like, you know, a lot of fun. I think, you know, I still, the Sentinel was probably one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Because it's huge. It's heavy. Nice color to it.
Have you seen that, toy they're releasing where it hits a certain number and they're releasing a Sentinel?
No.
It's like a huge, it's like a big Sentinel, basically.
I must have it. How much is it?
It's like $300+. It's one of those specialty ones where, hey, we're sending it at this amount. If you want to buy it, you know, if enough people buy it, we'll make it, and it's going to be for that amount only. They kind of did one. They did that for one of the Star Wars toys or whatever. But this thing's pretty huge, where basically if you want, you can. It looks like, you know, you can have a Wolverine fight it and stuff. And it's like, you know, same size if you saw it in the cartoon or the comics and stuff. And it's right. Pretty huge and articulate and stuff. I'll send you a link to
it. Yeah, send it to me. I mean, it's probably not going to get it because I'm okay, that's $300 is a bit.
Yeah, no. $300 for what is essentially an action figure is a little too high for my taste. Like, believe me, I have been tempted. There's tons of stuff from like Hot Toys action Hot Toy dolls, because that's what they are, dolls that are photorealistic and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have a couple like Back to the Future ones and stuff like that, and it's really I could see if I had money, and that's another thing, you have to have money to buy that stuff, because
I'm not gonna there. Yeah, like, pins are cheap enough that I can, well, for one, I can get a bunch of them and still fit it in my apartment.
Yeah, exactly, that too.
And still display it without, like, getting bunches of boxes and action figures. I mean, I put up shelves so I can put up, like you got me, like, an X-Men Gambit cell from one of my birthdays, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
So I just put up shelves in the bedroom. So that me and Ava can actually, you know what, let's put up our childhood up in there, because Everything else is in our closet. We need to make room.
Yeah.
So I just did that this weekend. So I'll be putting up a few things, actually, you got me, which is the Gambit, you know, cell, the Joker mask that came with the comic.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really cool. I'm putting that up. You got me like the first issue of Carnage, which is awesome. I may put that up, or...
Oh, holy shit, yeah.
Yeah, dude. So thank you for
that. There was a time period where I was able to find stuff that relatively was really, like, not too expensive, that was just like, hey, what's your favorite childhood TV show? Oh, it's this? I'm going to try to get the art cell to this, or, like, an issue to a comic, like, first appearance or something, and man, I kind of lucked out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of lucked out during that time period. I was like, I'm ultimate gift guy.
You're good.
Yeah, I try. But the artist that you were going for the pins is, I want to give a shout out. It's Tom Whalen. He's based out of Austin. He does a lot of stuff with Mondo, the Mondo print shop. That's mondotees.com. Or actually, you can go to mondoshop.com. They have a ton of pins on display. Still that you're able to buy, like, a bunch of Jurassic Parks and some Marvel stuff on there that is still available.
Well, anything. Like, he did this really cool, Ava got some really cool Pinocchio art from him, which was really awesome. There's also posters I've been wanting, but again, they sell out. Now they go for $300. Like, my sister luckily got me a Pulp Fiction poster from Mondo to Christmases ago, I believe. which was great, which is hanging up right now. Thanks, sis. And, you know, I've been trying to buy, you know, if it's cheap enough, I'll buy them, but they're not cheap at all after they sell for Mondo.
No, they aren't. There are some that you can get that you might pay a little bit more, but then as the years go on, they go up in price because they're so kind of rare, because they only make like, you know, 300 and they immediately sell out within like 10 seconds as they go up.
Yeah.
I have a few of those posters that.
But it does help if you follow the actual artist, like on their Instagram. That's kind of what I started to do. And they sell, you know, their work, and it's not that expensive.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I think I follow him on
Instagram. Is it Strong? Is it Strong Stuff?
Yeah, Strong Stuff Instagram.
I embarrassed myself really quick. I embarrassed myself because I didn't know that was him selling his own work. Yeah. So I emailed him about, how come I can't get Magneto and Dr. Doom as a pin? You know, no, actually, it was more like I was asking, do you have any of the following? Because I got a few that were gone from Mondo on his website. I think I got like Spider-Man and Wolverine, Jubilee and Storm. And like, oh, do you have Juggernaut and all these other ones that I've been wanting? And he responded, and I didn't realize that it was him after I read his signature. I'm like, man, I just fucking bitched out to the fucking artist of these things. I'm like, sorry, bro. Great work, though.
It's kind of crazy how, like, because you see this on the internet and you think, like, oh, this guy's big. This guy's huge. And it's just like, no, he has his own shop. He has his own website. There, you can easily reach out to him and stuff. Like, there was a couple years back, this game developer he made a couple games. Oh, God, I forgot the name of the game, but it was Her Story, I think. And it was a really cool, like, FMV game where it was like, you're a detective and you receive a bunch of videotapes and you have to log them in the order to find out the mystery. So you have a bunch of just random videos that you can search for on a hard drive. And then it's your job to piece it together it's like a big giant puzzle.
Nice.
And
that's cool.
It got a lot of attention, a lot of buzz, and I heard about it on a bunch of podcasts. And I bought it, and it kept crashing. And it said, you know, hey, you know, reach out or email this information if you receive a crash or something. So I did, and I ended up corresponding, you know, back and forth with this programmer who was the only guy it was his game. He made the game, and it was just like, oh, and he was just like, yeah, you know, just let you know I'm on vacation right now, so I might not get to this. And I was just like, wait, what? Oh, I'm talking to the fucking guy who made the whole game. Okay, no, sorry. Yeah, go on vacation. Don't worry, I can wait. Like, it's really weird how you can easily get a lot of people.
Yeah.
Easy with that. But yeah, no, I have a couple of Tom Whalen stuff. I have a DuckTales art piece that he put up that was a limited edition and stuff. I mean, I like a lot of his stuff and just a lot of talent in Mondo in general and stuff.
Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. The Emmanuel pin, I can totally see going down that rabbit hole of just, okay, I got this. Now I need more.
Yeah, don't. Luckily, there is no more for me to get except for I'm eyeballing Luke Cage?
Yeah.
Which I don't know how I missed that.
Come on, man. It's power, man.
And I think there's something else, too, that I'm missing. But I'm like, there's a moment like, okay, I gotta stop. And they were all in my table for the longest time. And then I had to buy a board. And then I wanted to paint it. Like, I wanted to put the Marvel logo. I mean, it gave me something to do.
Yeah.
You know, but then now that I'm officially, not officially done, but I'm like, okay, I have to slow down. For one, I just can't afford, you know, can't keep buying these things. I have to eat and pay rent. And now I just have to just enjoy
it. Can I pay rent in 3 Magnetos?
So if anybody has a Magneto or a Doctor Doom or an Archangel, hit me up.
Hit your boy up. At Live to Film.
To Film. I got nothing going on.
Oh, that's a cool Optimus Prime one he had, a G1. Anyway, now I'm looking. Okay, I got to stop. So besides anything else, or besides the DC stuff, which we'll jump into in a moment, was there anything else that you were watching or want to discuss or anything like that? Or?
I mean, not really. I mean, there's okay. just stuff I've been watching, stuff in the background mostly,
yeah.
but not real watches until the DC stuff that we're about to talk about.
Yeah, you just want background noise while you're harassing artists and pin hunting. So,
which I totally yeah, well, I want Colossus and Nightcrawler.
Hey, dummy, do you have a dupe?
Anyway, yeah, I would totally get dupe if there was one. Hopefully he makes a Mojo one from the Mojoverse. I'm like, Bishop, I'm like, yeah. I have all these ideas that I want to email him. Hey, can you do this character too? It's me again.
Big fan. It's me again. Good. I have some ideas.
Live to film here.
Live to film here. I have some ideas. I am... if I was talented, I'd do it, but you know what? You're the master. Anyway...
Dude, I actually do have a lot of ideas. I do have a lot of ideas. I okay. to the point where I'm like, how can I make my own? And I'm like, okay, I probably can't. And again, it's costs a lot of money unless I sell them.
Yeah.
So if there's interest, I'll be happy to make some to sell.
And then you get a cease and desist letter from the artist saying, hey, you're stealing my idea here.
No, like... it'll be separate idea. Just mm-hmm. oh yeah, maybe from the original. Yeah, yeah.
He's like,
that's
hey,
fine. I'll just call it something else. That's the key.
You've been harassing me to make stuff, and when I tell you to scram, you make it. And
you created a beast.
Yeah, exactly. I totally get John Travolta's The Fan, directed by Fred Durst. So I get it. Oh wait, no, that was that The Fan? No, The Fan was Robert De Niro, Wesley Snipes.
And my sister just gave me that for my birthday. That is of the Tony Scott films, not lesser Tony Scott film.
Yeah.
But it's a fun watch. It's right before De Niro kind of
went De Niro.
Yeah.
When he started looking like a pup, like an angry puppet.
Well, he became a caricature. Now it's more of a joke, you know.
Right. Exactly.
But still fun.
Somebody described Robert De Niro as an angry puppet. And it's just like, yeah, no, I see it. Like, it's an old vaudeville angry puppet, just always meh. Anyway, I've been just quickly before we talk about the fandom. I actually have been playing a lot of video games recently. Last week, Microsoft released Flight Simulator, which is exactly what it is. The title pretty much describes what the game is. It's a flight simulator. They have a bunch of planes. You get to take off and fly from, like, you know, JFK to SFO or LAX to SFO, and you fly it all the way there. You can do any type of planes. You can buy all that. It's currently free on Microsoft Game Pass. And is that
like on real time? Like
from LA to New York?
So people it would be have like 5 hours?
Pretty much. People have been... You can do the super realistic approach and do that. And the thing about this game is it uses satellite images to graph everything. So it is, if you want to go take a look at Big Ben, go to Big Ben. You can totally do that. A lot of people have been going to Jeffrey Epstein's sex island and landing there, saying they've been to Jeffrey Epstein's island. Also, people have been trolling their friends by taking screenshots of them crashing into their houses. Stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but the thing is, you don't see the actual crash. If you hit something, it just goes to black.
And even better. Perspective.
Seriously is kind of creepy because, you know, if you're a plane man, because these are actual planes, too. You don't want your plane featured in a video game crashing into a house or a building and exploding all over the place for obvious reasons. So instead, what happens, it's more horrifying because as you crash into the ground or an object, the screen goes to black and you hear that, like your hearing shut off. And it's just black screen just saying, your plane malfunctioned, restart. And it's just like, oh, wow, this is way worse. Because you get your Sopranos ending at that point.
I was going to say something else inappropriate, but I'm not going to because it's too soon.
Yeah.
You can probably know who I'm going with this.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And I appreciate that. Thank you. I know. I got that paper cut, too. I also have been playing a demo of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, which I got as a free promotion from Chipotle when I ordered the Tony Hawk burrito.
Ooh, what's in it?
You know what? Really boring. It's a chicken, obviously, because he's the bird. Chicken, brown rice, guacamole, and red sauce. And it was just kind of like, this is really bland. Like, this is not really good. Come on, Tony Hawk. What isn't bland is the video game, because if you've ever played a Tony Hawk game, especially Tony Hawk 1 and 2 or 3, it is some of the best video games ever made, and also some of the best soundtrack to a video game ever made, because it had actual artists in it, like Rage Against the Machine, Goldfinger, yeah. Anthrax, and Public Enemy. You know, just it. If you want to know,
it's just a cool game. Yeah, it's just a cool game to kind of like just chill out.
Exactly.
It's, relax. It's,
hey, you have 2 minutes. Try to make as many combos as you can. Awesome. They redid it, and the past couple years, the Tony Hawk brand has actually kind of fallen by the wayside. But this demo really, it's just a 2 minute demo of the warehouse, and it is very, again, it gets the nostalgia feelings. You hear Superman start playing, and you're like, oh my God, I'm doing an Ollie. And it brings me back to, like, you know, a Saturday night drinking Mountain Dew and playing the game in my youth. And I'm doing that now as 37. So
living the dream.
Yeah.
You right?
So I'm fine. I'm fine. also reliving my youth game. And I actually played these two games on Twitch, which I think I'm going to start streaming more because I have a computer that actually can do that now. Battletoads. They remade Battletoads. And you saw some of this the other night.
Yeah, it's great.
You didn't hear any sound because, again, I'm still learning. But it's kind of like a pseudo sequel to the NES game. It's been about 26, 27 years since the Toads have defeated the Queen. I forget. I wasn't the biggest fan of Battletoads to begin with because it was always it was super hard, and it was just like, this seems like it's hard for the sake of hard, and it just, I don't know. I like the idea, believe me, like intergalactic toads beating up pigs. Hell yeah, count me in. But the game itself, it looks really good. It does have a really funny bent to it. It is pretty funny. Like they defeat a enemy, and the enemy is like, oh, you defeated me. Well, I'll see you in hell, toads. Oh, God, everything's black. There's nothing over here. Oh, make the most of your life. And it fades out. And they're just like, oh, wow, that got dark quick. You know, just little jokes like that. One level has them taking day jobs where you're tapping out on a computer or massaging a person or selling an autograph. It's different, but then it also, at the same time, also is that Battletoads feel of just going to the right and kicking and punching a bunch of times.
I always felt like it was kind of like another version of Ninja Turtles.
Oh yeah, no, they made
Battletoads. Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Ninja Turtles. Oh yeah,
right.
No, yeah.
And it's not a bad thing. I just think it's cool. I'm surprised it never made more games or a movie. I mean, I think there's an audience for that.
I mean, they did make you know, the Battletoads arcade game, and then they also did a Battletoads and Double Dragon, and then it just kind of went away. So I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I think out of all the Ninja Turtle clones, I think Battletoads was the more successful of the bunch, you know, because then you have your sewer sharks and your battle rats from Mars, or biker mice from Mars. That was it. Biker mice from Mars. You got those things where people don't even remember it. But I think Battletoads is the more successful one of that bunch. But no, I mean, the one problem, though, I will say, is like the third level is another speeder bike level, which is infamous for being one of the hardest levels in any game. That's where I usually stopped playing, and that was the second level. This one, it just went on for like 15, 20 minutes of you dodging obstacles, and it was just like, all right, let's wrap it up, and it just kept going. So that's, you know, the one complaint is it seems like it's kind of fill in a lot more time where it's just like, okay, yeah, you could have trimmed a little off of this. But other than that, I mean, it's a bright, colorful, fun game that you can just beat up on people. And it's also free on Games Pass, Microsoft Games Pass, which...
So this is Xbox, the two, Tony Hawk and Battletoads?
Tony Hawk is available for, will be available for PC, PS4, and Xbox. Battletoads is only on Xbox or PC through Microsoft Games Pass. And what that is actually, it's like the Netflix of video games, where basically right. you pay like $15, $10 or $15 a month. $15 gets you the PC games and everything. And they basically have like hundreds of games that you could choose from and download and play until it's not there anymore. And Battletoads is one of them. All first party Microsoft games is on there and such. And it really is, it's one of the better deals out there, honestly, because they have some AAA games and really great games. And if you have an Xbox and you're not signed up for it, you're missing out on a lot of stuff.
Do they still have the Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, how they remade that like back in 2008?
If you bought it originally, I believe it's, you can still download it. I don't know if it's up for sale though.
Okay.
I think one of the more easier ways to do that is to get the Ninja Turtles arcade one-up machine, which has the Ninja Turtles arcade game and the Turtles in Time arcade game. And then you have an arcade machine.
How much are those?
Those could range from anywhere to $200 to $500.
Is that like the Walmart?
Yes.
Version? Okay.
Yeah, Walmart. You see them at Walmart. Sometimes, though, I would check also, because sometimes to clear inventory, they mark them down to $50.
What?
Yeah. I forgot the name of the website. I'll tell you later about that, but there's some websites that where if Walmart needs a clear space, they'll mark it down to just get them out and move them and such, because they're such huge items. They need that space for other items. Because, yeah, that's another...
$50? I may pop on that for 50.
Yeah, no, exactly, because you have yourself a big arcade machine of Turtles, and they also have versions of like Mortal Kombat, all three Mortal Kombat games. They just released NBA Jam. It's again another thing that if I had more room and money, it would be I would have a room filled with all those machines. Still waiting for Simpsons and X-Men arcade game.
Actually, there was Frankensons. You've heard of that, right?
Frankensons?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
So it's kind of like a swamp meet place for, you know, just like, you know, games, toys, you know, anything pop culture.
Frankenson collectible show.
Yes. So, yeah, they sell, I think I saw a posting for them selling like the Simpson, classic Simpson game, but it was a lot, like 1,000 or 2.
Yeah,
it was way too much. But I remember seeing like a posting for that.
Yeah, Frankenson. Okay. Yeah, I thought you said Frankenson like Frankenstein, and I was like, wait, what the fuck is this? But okay.
I think I call it Frankenstein, but it's like Frankensons.
Well, no, I know it's Frankensons, but it's collectible. It doesn't matter. It sounded like Frankenson were combined, and I was like, what kind of horror ass bullshit is this? City of Industry toy hunting, and oh yeah, there's a lot of YouTube videos of people just collecting stuff. Yeah, so I mean that's pretty much what I've been doing, just playing games and working, and that's pretty much it. But this past weekend, a lot of people may have noticed that Comic-Con wasn't available this year because due to the COVID-19 virus, but also they did have a at home at Comic-Con version, which wasn't that great. It was a bunch of YouTube videos that they just posted up, but DC had their big thing this weekend, the DC Fandom, and basically it was a website you went to and they showed a video pretty much all day, and there was different panels at different times, and it was structured, and it was kind of great. It started at 10 a.m. with a Wonder Woman 1984 panel, went throughout the day until like 5 p.m. where they did the Batman panel. In between there, you got a bunch of little panels coming in, just exactly like a Comic-Con thing. People would show up and it would be like Zoom calls, but they did it up in a way where it wasn't just looking like a Zoom call. You know, they had people in different buildings. They sent green screens to people, so it looked like they were in this like 3D environment and such. It was a really cool, really thing. I think you're going to see a lot more. I think this, you're going to see a lot more of this in the future, because DC pretty much owned the weekend in terms of coverage, just press coverage and stuff like that. So I think that's going to be a big thing coming up, where you might see a Comic-Con or a Marvel Con or D23 Con presented like this, because you don't have to fly out a bunch of big names. You just send a camera and say, hey, just make this video. And yeah, so it was pretty great. With that, a bunch of movies got some new news for movies, upcoming movies. Again, I said it started at 10 a.m. with the Wonder Woman 1984 panel, where they had Gal Gadot and Chris Pine, Kristen Wiig, Patty Jenkins, and a bunch of other people there presenting and talking about Wonder Woman, which should have been already released. That movie should have been released in July, but got pushed back for obvious reasons. And that's when they presented the first big trailer of the day, which was the new Wonder Woman 84 trailer. Edwin, you told me you didn't go to you didn't actually get into the fandom itself. You decided to stay back, which I don't blame you, because it can get pretty sweaty in there, which means it could get pretty stinky. But you watched some of the trailers. Why don't we start things off with Wonder Woman 1984? What did you think of it?
I liked it. I still haven't seen the first Wonder Woman.
But you were just like, what's going on?
I kind of get the gist, of it, but I am going to watch it. That's probably one of the things I'm going to watch after watching this trailer.
Yeah.
But I got to say, it's set in the 80s. I think what struck me the most is Kristen Wiig. I like her. I think she's funny. And then her doing a DC villain is pretty exciting to see. So I'm excited to see her for sure.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman riding a lightning bolt was great. It looks kind of like just a typical movie. I mean, I think the idea that it's being set in the 80s kind of captures my attention, along with Kristen Wiig.
It's bright, colorful too, which you don't see from a DC movie typically. It's a big, bright, and colorful, which, hey, yeah, let's keep doing that. Definitely. I mean, you don't show a lot. It didn't show a lot. It showed, Kristen Wiig as Cheetah, who she's playing. And also you saw Pedro Pascal, a.k.a. the Mandalorian, as Maxwell Lord. And Chris Pine is back. Spoilers, Edwin, sorry.
I figured. I mean, I guess I could tell the story is going to be kind of like her... I'm assuming Wonder Woman's going to give up her power so she can have Chris Pine back.
Really hope not. I really hope they don't go that route. I'm tired of...
And then Cheetah will have her own origin story.
Yeah.
And she'll get more powerful. And then that's when Wonder Woman will probably... This is all speculation. This is just based on the trailer that I watched. I'm like, kind of see one, you kind of see it all.
Yeah.
And if it's different, that's fine too. But I get it, and it seems exciting. And maybe she'll... Wonder Woman will have to realize, no, I have to have my powers again. Then she'll get that gold suit. Then she'll have to sacrifice Chris Pine, and then we'll have the fight.
Yeah, no, I really hope they don't go that route. It started that trope with Superman 2, and every single superhero movie has to have a crisis of faith in them. Do I really want my powers? Then they give them up, and it's such a trope that I'm tired. Yeah. I'm tired of it. Please stop. Just please stop. Hopefully they don't go that route. I don't think they will. I think Patty Jenkins has an eye for not doing that sort of thing. She, with the original Wonder Woman, it was such a revelation, I think, in terms, just because one, I say a revelation, even though it was a pretty all right movie, but I say revelation as in, oh, this is a different DC movie. Like, this is not your typical... I'm a hero. I don't know if I want to be a hero. Everything's dark and I'm moody. It was just kind of it was just refreshing to see a woman, not just a woman, but also like a hero that's just like, yeah, no, I have these powers, I want to fight, and I'm gonna fight, you know. And it's like,
so you I'm a hero, I want my powers, and I want my man. Want it all, give it to me now, let me fight this cheetah, she's a bitch, I'm done, let me save the day.
In the go-go 80s, I want a scene of her going to see Working Girl and go, what is this shit? I want to see that. I want to see her in the big puffy shoulder pads. Like, damn it.
I am afraid if Kristen Wiig, Cheetah, does this whole Edward Nygma kind of character, I'm going to be pissed. Because I know she can do that very well. Like, because it kind of just shows in the trailer. I'm sad and pathetic.
It would be nice to see. Whenever Kristen Wiig did do like dramatic roles or semi-dramatic, it was always kind of also like, oh, she has some range. And it's not the...
I think she does.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I'm excited. That's why I'm kind of excited for her mostly.
Yeah.
I'm willing to see her, see what she does with this role.
Exactly. So the next panel, there was a bunch of other panels throughout the day. So like the next panel was talking about the new Batman game, Gotham Knights, which you don't play as Batman. You actually play, Batman's dead in the game. And you're playing Robin, Red Hood, Nightwing, or Batgirl, trying to get some justice for Batman and keep Gotham under control. But one of the more important panels, I think, of the day that not a lot of people have talked about, which was pretty important, was a panel called Multiverse 101. And during this panel, it was Greg Berlanti, who has been doing the CW DC shows, Jim Lee, who is part of the who is the artist, Jim Lee, probably best known for his work on X-Men, and also one of the co-founders of Image Comics, along with Todd McFarlane. He's a president of entertainment for DC, and then also the president of the movie division. I forgot his name. I should look it up.
Isn't it Jeff Loeb?
It's not Jeff Loeb. Jeff Loeb is not. And we'll get into that, because he may be in some hot water. DC Comics movie president.
Dude, I've been wanting to get some Jim Lee and Chris Claremont comics again.
Yeah, no.
That is my childhood, too, by the way. So
Chris,
I'm like,
Chris Claremont, I was thinking about this the other day. He has created so much entertainment, not just for that, but also for movie-wise, like, because he really got the X-Men as a soap opera drama. And really just played into that. And it was just like, yeah, no, these characters exactly work like that. So not only does he done stuff like Dark Phoenix and Days of Future Past, he also originally did Big Hero 6 when that was a comic for Marvel. And there's been a couple of other things that he's done where it's just like, oh, man, this guy really reached. Like, he has reach on that. Jim Lee, just his Batman stuff with a Hush was just gorgeous looking, like so many amazing cover arts of like, you know, the Batman choking Joker or the Batman covered with poison ivy's leaves and stuff. It just beautiful artwork. The current president of DC Films is Walter Hamada. Basically what they were talking about during this panel is it was kind of opening up where, so if you were if you watched Batman, like the movies, Batman, Superman back in the day, those were two different things. They never crossed over. They never did anything. And there was DC TV shows for lesser known characters, but you could never mention Batman. You could never mention Superman. It always was separated. This was basically talking about how, hey, DC movies and TV, they're all multiverses. They all exist, but in different multiverses. So you can have a Superman show and a Superman movie running at the same time. You can have a Batman show and a Batman movie. You can have multiple versions of Batman. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But they're kind of opening it up where they're saying, oh, yeah, no, we can have different versions of these characters playing at, you know, different times and not have like a one... not have a like Marvel MCU style where it's all interconnected. they can have different stories. They can have different things. One of the big things they announced was that, in fact, you know, you might see some DC movie characters pop up in DC TV shows. You saw that with the back in December or January, actually, with the CW's Crisis on Infinite Earths, where they put together all the shows. And you saw Ezra Miller's Flash pop up on the Flash episode in that show. And actually, he gets the name Flash from Barry Allen Flash on the TV show. Because if you go back to Justice League, you realize, oh, no one called him Flash. And he didn't call himself Flash. He got the name from the TV show Flash character of Flash. So you can have multiple versions of these characters. And who knows, they may interact and stuff. And you'll really see that coming up. And this also includes, you know, DC properties that happened a long time ago. And you'll see that in the upcoming, where they did the next panel, which was the Flash movie. Where it's already been announced that Michael Keaton's coming back as Bruce Wayne Batman. They did reveal some artwork with Flash and Bruce Wayne's Batman, which I have to say, the inner child in me just squealed with delight seeing that. I did not see that.
You got to send me the.
I thought I did over the past weekend when you were like, you replied to it saying, Keaton baby.
Oh, you know what? I don't think I clicked on it. I just saw the first image. I didn't know that's what it was.
But
it was
going that's actually artwork. That was art. That's a upcoming artwork from the Flash movie because they haven't actually filmed it.
Oh, that's what I get for skimming the invite. Okay,
thanks,
I'm gonna
totally buddy.
I thought it was just gonna be the trailer for the other movies.
A couple things. There's a couple things that this in Black Adam, they have not with starring The Rock, since they haven't filmed any of that due to COVID and everything. They do have like artwork and stuff, like principal art, you know, just to show different scenes and everything. They showed off the Flash's new suit, and then they also showed a scene of Michael Keaton dressed as Batman, or Michael Keaton's Batman with Ezra Miller's Flash, like ready to do battle kind of situation. And that really just made me, I don't know, anything with Batman 89 and that bat suit look or anything from those movies, whenever I see it, it just immediately takes me back to 1989 as a kid and that whole movie. There's just something about that look I really truly love and dig. But it was also announced last week that before the fandom that Ben Affleck is also going to be in the Flash movie as well as Batman. He is returning as Batman. So that's kind of the start of this, where the Flash will kind of start this whole multiverse type situation going on. So, you know, stuff like Christopher Reeve's Superman is part of DC multiverse and everything.
Right.
And they're really embracing that. Yeah. Everything. Anything.
And
that's
And we kind of talked about it before, where I think when the whole movie industry, especially when it comes to comic book movies, that every year we will have three versions of a Batman or a Superman, or the idea that both Marvel and DC are jumping on the bandwagon of, oh, let's do multiverses.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. Like, the world is big enough that you can get every single, you know, fans that are out there.
Yeah.
And put them into one.
I mean, that's the thing also, is that the DC, it's perfect for DC because DC started this multiverse. All this multiverse talk started with DC, and it started with the Flash, with the Tale of Two Flashes, where you saw Barry Allen's Flash and God, I'm going to lose my nerd credit. Not Kyle Gardner. It's Jay Garrick. Jay Garrick's Flash. You saw the old Flash, which was the guy in the metal hat and the regular Flash we all know and love running towards the same person, and it created the multiverse. And DC it was in the, I want to say, 40s or 30s.
Wow. Okay. The Flash
multiverse start. It was, I can tell you.
If only there was a device I can use to look up.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out, but I'm just getting information about the Flash multiverse movie now. Anyway, so But yeah, so the Arrowverse, which was the CW shows and everything, kind of, they kind of went like, oh, you know what? It would be fun to have Ezra Miller's Flash show up on the Flash TV show. Because that makes sense, because they're talking about multiverses and all that stuff. And he appeared only like 2 to 3 minutes. And that kind of birthed the whole thing of, oh, you know what? Yeah, why don't we embrace this? Because like for a long while, I remember, I mean, we had a show on the CW for 10 years, Smallville, which was a Superman show, but you could never call him Superman. He would never wear the cape. He would never wear the tights. He would never wear any of that because all that stuff would be for the movies. But now, next year, you're going to get a Superman and Lois TV show with everything, you know, and they're still making Superman movies. So I think it's a really smart part of that because, one, it's making DC not follow the Marvel method and just doing something on their own. And they have, you know, 75, 80 years worth of stories that they can play with and characters and everything. And you can have your, you know, kid shows. You can have your strong adult movies, you know, like Joker and stuff. It just makes sense.
Agreed.
And it really, that's one thing I really kind of took away from that was just like, oh, great. They're actually playing with all those ideas and everything.
I kind of took it the same way, exactly what you're saying. Yeah. I'm kind of glad that, kind of like, again, with Sony, how they're doing the Morbius and Venoms and, you know, the Kraven movies, which is, before I used to have like, oh God, I don't care for these characters. But now, after this weekend, I'm like, you know what, that's probably a good thing because maybe I don't want to see Marvel do a Venom movie.
Yeah.
Because they're going to do kind of, you know, very action-packed, you know, more of a blockbustery version.
Yeah,
so I'm glad that they're doing the smaller characters because now, again, it just, whenever like you're in the mood for something smaller, or you know what, I want to learn about this character because I don't know anything about him, you know, I'll, you know, put on this movie. Some of them are bad, I get, but it's kind of nice that they're trying to do something different and maybe they'll get a home run in one of them. You know,
exactly. And I mean, already they've done that with, you know, the Joker movie, their Joker that came out last year when it made over $1 billion and got Joaquin Phoenix an Oscar. But also, it also opens up to different filmmakers and different styles of movies so they don't all look the same. And that was pretty apparent with the Suicide Squad, which was the next big panel. James Gunn's Suicide Squad, after Marvel let him go, DC went to James Gunn and said, hey, you can do any character you want. Pitch us a movie with any character. And he went, I want to do Suicide Squad, but I want to do it in the style of the 1970s Suicide Squad, which was more of like a war, like a crew of wartime characters, DC villains that were inspired of like the Dirty Dozen or the Wild Bunch sort of thing. And they showed a behind the scenes video of them making the Suicide Squad, because that actually is done filming. They're done filming it. He's editing and finishing it up right now. That's coming out next year. And they also announced the cast and lineup for this Suicide Squad, which featured a bunch of characters I don't know anything about. Which kind of is like, hey, I like that. Let me find out who these characters are.
Right.
You got Harley Quinn returning as or Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn returning. You got Rick Flagg from the original, who was kind of the team lead of the Suicide Squad. You have Amanda Waller, Viola Davis coming back, because when you got Viola Davis, you use Viola Davis. You also have a couple of newcomers like King Shark, which is a shark-like creature who's a king, and you can see on also a Harley Quinn cartoon show. You also have Weasel, which I guess is the answer to Rocket Raccoon. You have Polka Dot Man, which I kind of love because it's just a guy in a polka dot suit, and in the brief trailer you saw him throw a bunch of polka dots. So who knows what's going to happen there?
That's a thing.
Yeah, because that's a thing. You got John
Where
Cena.
Where is Kite Man?
Yeah, exactly. We want Kite Man. I don't know. And they described the Suicide Squad as like a 70s war film, which, I'm down for. Yeah, it looks like it could be stupid fun. James Gunn can do stupid fun.
He can.
So I'm kind of not excited, but I'm more open. I'm optimistic about it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Again, yeah. I wasn't a fan of, as you know, probably the worst movie of that year is the other one. And maybe because I didn't know what it was, but I think I tried to rewatch it months ago and I still couldn't do it. I just wasn't, just not for me.
Yeah,
but I'm open to this one, though.
But who knows? Maybe we'll see, maybe we will see, what do we call it? The, who directed that stupid movie? It was, David Ayer. Is it David Ayer? It's Ayer's, maybe we'll get Ayer's, the Ayer cut of the Suicide Squad. Because, you know, that was also rifled with a bunch of reshoots and everything. Because I think one of our friends actually mentioned that they pretty much reshot that movie to try to mimic it as close to Guardians of the Galaxy as possible.
They did a terrible job if they were trying to do that.
Yeah, they did a horrible job because they thought, oh, we'll just put cool songs in it and make it funny. And so what they did was just instead hired the director of Guardians of the Galaxy to make the sequel. So good on them. Yeah. But speaking of cuts, the next big panel, in between that, there's a bunch of little panels like the Joker put on a happy face, which was talking about the Joker. Jim Lee did a portfolio review of a bunch of people who submitted artwork in to get them judged to see how, like, you know, to review it, see what their talents are, what they aren't. There was a surprise DC Comics panel, which talked about Milestone Comics, which was a brand of comics that were featured African-American, that were written and drawn by African-American creators and people of color. You have Dwayne McDuffie was one of the head guys for that. Unfortunately, he's passed on, but the people who were also a part of it are restarting that. You got Static Shock coming from that group, which they announced, hey, we're making a Static Shock movie, which... yeah, cool. Awesome. I like that character. Why not? They also had another panel, but the next big panel was the Snyder Cut of the Justice League panel, where you had Zack Snyder basically get blown for about a half hour by the fans of the Snyder, the people that wanted the Snyder Cut made and willed it into existence. Just ask and gush over Zack Snyder as he, I mean, hey, you know what? Good on Zack Snyder. He's in a position that a lot of directors aren't able to get into, where he's able to go back and make his movie that the way he wanted it. Especially after being let go and then going to a different direction and everything. Good on him. He's getting that rare opportunity. But yeah, I don't know. They released, the trailer. They announced that, the Snyder Cut is coming to HBO Max next year, and it is going to be four parts, each an hour long, so you're looking at a four-hour Justice League movie in the style of Zack Snyder. Yay.
yeah, I don't know how to feel about that. I mean the trailer didn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't know what the story is. And there was nothing, like, visually stunning that made me go, oh, wow, I really need to see this. Yeah, I really don't know what to say about it. I guess I'm not really that excited. Will I check it out? Maybe. But I really don't know. I feel like there's still a lot going on. And now that you're telling me that it's going to be 4 hours long, I mean, I think that's great. At least everybody's going to have, like, their own story. And who are they fighting again? Steppenwolf? No.
Steppenwolf was the main villain in Justice League. But we also saw Darkseid, who was originally supposed to be in the movie but never showed up in the Whedon version of Justice League. That was completely cut out. You'll see Darkseid in the Snyder Cut. And again, this is the setup to a trilogy of movies. We're only going to see the first part of this. So I don't know. That's the one thing that I'm going to be like, why, why do you want to see a movie that you'll never get a resolution to?
If there was a big enough cry for these fans to demand a Snyder cut.
Maybe the other one
was so bad. I mean,
yeah.
Again, I don't know if I don't think I watched the Justice League movie. And if I did, says a lot because I don't remember one thing from it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, like I said, the panel was kind of weirdly set up where you have Zack Snyder first taking questions from like Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, Ezra Miller, a bunch of the cast from Justice League, basically asking fan questions about it. Like, hey, will we see more Cyborg? And that was asked by Ray Fisher, who has been kind of spilling tea around the place. Cause he, a couple months back basically said that, the treatment that he got from Joss Whedon and Jeff Johns on the set of the reshoots for Justice League, he basically just called them out saying like these guys were acting like assholes and they were like really rude and yell and just the treatment that they were doing, not just to him, but also the rest of the cast, was horrible. And actually Warner Brothers is actually opening up a HR complaint into an investigation into that to see that what exactly happened on that set. So that's why you don't really see a lot of Jeff Johns anymore in the DC stuff. But the one thing, they had a couple people that were kind of the forefront of the Snyder Cut to basically where Zack Snyder would ask them, like, why did you feel to do this? And they would reply with, well, you know, it's because we miss your vision. We love your vision. We have to see it, you know, and we saw what the Justice League was. It was like, this isn't Zack. Like, where's Zack's vision? And it just was really kind of cloying and just like, oh God, this is so, I don't know. I didn't really like it. There was a Twitter thing where they actually released the trailer. It was released earlier in the day. And a critic by the name of Scott Mendelson said this of the following on Twitter. So the trailer for the Snyder Cut of Justice League looks like the same movie. Lots of deleted scenes from the marketing campaign, but otherwise it looks like alternate takes on existing scenes. Zack Snyder replied to that, saying, you said you enjoyed the theatrical cut of Justice League like you enjoy your Saturday morning cartoons. Well, this is made for grown-ups, so you're not in the demographic. Also, cool of you to comment on a leaked teaser. The thing about that phrase, well, this is made for grown-ups, I think rubs me the wrong way, where it's just like, they're trying to... You got to realize you're playing with kids' characters that were made for kids. And I think that's big outcry for Justice League fans was, this is too kid-like. I want my stuff dark and grown up. And it's just, okay, and I get that. There are tales for that. Also, you can get those type of movies. We were just saying that. But at the same time, you got to kind of concede you're watching a movie of the Justice League. Like, it's okay. Like, I don't know. That's what the Snyder Cut has always been. The Snyder Cut movement has always seen for me is a bunch of adults complaining that their Justice League was too kid-like. And I don't know. It's whatever. It's not for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm awful dark, but
yeah.
I think, again, going back to the trailer, I kind of agree with the critic where it's just kind of, we're seeing kind of like alternate,
yeah,
you know, takes on it. And I still don't know what the story is. Like, usually when you watch a teaser, you get an idea what the tone is. And I feel like it's still a bunch of shit thrown together to me.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. Well, I think also
as a teaser, maybe the movie will be different.
I'm just saying that like the teaser for this or the trailer for this is kind of under the impression that you've seen the Justice League. And here's stuff that shows it's not what you saw, that it's more Zack Snyder's vision and not Joss.
Right. So it's technically a different movie, though. It's still a different tone. Yeah, they're adding more.
Yeah.
I understand they're going to be showing
Superman has a black similar. Suit.
Yeah, right.
There's rumors that Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern may pop up, because I guess Green Lantern was supposed to be in the original cut. I don't know. We'll see.
The fanboys are gonna love talking about it, regardless if it's good or bad. Again, I'm not that super excited about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool that they're doing it. I think it's a cool experiment, kind of like. I feel like Gus Van Sant did the same thing for Psycho.
Yeah,
it's not like a Marvel property, but you know what? I'm gonna do the shot by shot. It still feels different to me.
Yeah.
If you ever watch the original and the Gus Van Sant, by a little, slightly little different, and that little subtlety of differences changed the whole movie, at least for me when I watched it.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So it is possible that maybe it will get a different feeling, maybe I'll understand it. But I'm still not digging the visuals that I saw in this. It's not supposed to be a Batman or a Superman movie. I get that. And I originally had a problem with that. Which way are you leaning towards? It's supposed to be a group, but I don't feel like they're a team or a group.
Yeah.
I still feel like individuals. So again, it's not like other trailers where you kind of see this is even the Suicide Squad trailer felt like these bad, like horrible villains are being,
are giving
this opportunity, teaming up. And I felt, they're kind of, I'm kind of feeling it in the trailer. This teaser didn't have that feeling. And there was already a movie that had these characters in it. And I still got the same feeling. So,
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. That's coming out next year on HBO Max. Next couple panels, another big one was Black Adam. That is The Rock starring as Black Adam, who is usually the villain of Shazam, but Black Adam's getting his own movie. They announced, again, they haven't shot anything for it, but they had The Rock taking questions and showing off a graphic novel cartoon style version of it just to give you an impression of it. They announced that Hawkman will be in the movie, as well as Dr. Fate will be in it as well. Couple other panels. They did an Aquaman panel, which I didn't watch. A Titans TV panel I didn't watch. Ask Harley Quinn, which was on the basis of the Harley Quinn cartoon show, where she was just answering questions from fans. You watched that. You had a little Harley Quinn weekend this weekend also, correct?
Yeah, I watched the Birds of Prey, the Occupation. What is it? The Occupation.
Birds of Prey and the Emancipation of One Harley Quinzel,
which I watch along with a few cartoons. Still not done with season one of the Harley Quinn cartoon show.
Yeah. What'd you think of Birds of Prey?
I kind of agree. I'm remembering what you said before. Mm-hmm. I liked Harley Quinn and I liked, the girls that were in it.
Yeah.
And the team up was great. I agree. I think you said you weren't a fan of Ewan McGregor as Black Mask.
I think he was fine. I think he had I think he was clearly having more fun with the character, just kind of vamping it up and everything. I think it was more of a, I think my assessment of it was, I don't remember, but just from what I remember and stuff, it wasn't a big major villain or anything. It was just some mobster and stuff that they had a team up and take down. But just kind of, it was more of like a spoiled rich boy type architect for that type of role and such. But it was, I thought he was fine. I don't think it was he is clearly chewing the scenery and stuff, but I think it's fine. I think he was fine in the movie, but.
I wasn't a fan of him. Mm-hmm. I get why he was like that, mm-hmm. typical male, like you said, whiny. I want to rule everything. But within this universe, knowing that there's so many bigger villains out there, he just came off kind of like a pussy. No disrespect. So I didn't really care for him. But anyway, so that was my only quibble with it. Other than that, Harley Quinn and everybody and Huntress and Rosie Perez's character and Canary. Toya. I thought they were great. As soon as it got to the end where they were in this abandoned carnival.
Yeah. Joker's hideout. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. And the fact that they had to fight basically some Mexican gangs and Asians was pretty funny. Was good. That really tickled my sweet spot on movies that end in carnivals or scary fun houses.
Yeah.
But the ending
kind of came out of nowhere. It's kind of
felt like really slapped on and like, yeah, it's overdone. So I'm like, wait, what?
You have this strong finish or you have this strong battle lead up, and then it just kind of all of a sudden goes, done.
Like, you can, I mean, and I get it. Like,
yeah,
that's how, you know, some of these characters are. But I felt like that kind of ruined the pacing of the movie for me.
Yeah.
A little. Like, I get what they were going for, but I think it kind of, the execution was, they didn't stick the landing on that. But other than that, it wasn't bad. I think it was very enjoyable seeing these characters. I mean, everybody else I think was great. Like, I wish there was more of them.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way with that, where I don't, like, and I kind of mentioned this beforehand, where I kind of appreciated how kind of it wasn't a big old huge blockbuster movie. It was kind of that meddling, like, middle tier action movie, where you didn't have to have a huge CGI, you know, slugfest. It was nice to see actual stunt people doing this work and stuff. And that's why I kind of didn't really mind Ewan McGregor so much, just because it was like, yeah, well, he is one of the lesser known. He's just a mob boss. He isn't, you know, some big, you know, DC villain. So that didn't bother me so much, but I totally get how somebody could see that and everything. But yeah, like you, the ending just kind of came out abruptly. All right, finished. And here it is. Yeah. So it was nice. I think it really kind of proved that it was like, oh yeah, you don't have to have these big flashy movies. You can have these kind of smaller.
And I get every movie you have to introduce someone new. I really do get that. But because you're already introducing these like four other, you know, characters, they were strong enough to carry the whole movie.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And I felt like every time, every time Ewan McGregor was in there, I felt like it stopped for me.
Yeah.
It kind of slowed the movie down. I kind of got bored. I didn't feel like any really big threat.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Suicide Squad, which I find, Birds of Prey movie. For me, I will rewatch this one more.
Yeah.
I'm willing to rewatch this again compared to Suicide Squad.
Yeah, no.
But kind of like Suicide Squad, I wish that the villain, I wish it was just like the Joker still being, he doesn't have to be in it, but him after Harley and her goons are after them.
I like the fact that everyone realized that she wasn't the Joker's girlfriend and they were just like, finally,
and that's all good.
We can fucking kill her. She's annoying as fuck. Like,
and that's fine. That worked for me too. The beginning, great. Her like craving that breakfast egg sandwich, which I have been through before, so that was very relatable to me. And again, thought she was funny. I can't remember her in Suicide Squad at all. How her character was, but in this one, you know, she was a bit hamming it up, but not in a bad way.
She was having fun
I liked her in it.
Yeah,
I liked her. That was another thing. the hyena as a pet.
Yeah,
Bruce. Yeah, it was great.
There was something on the panel where it was like, these characters have, from previous panels, like, these characters have experienced loss. You know, Bruce with his parents, Superman with his home world, Harley Quinn with her egg sandwich, and it cuts to like Margot Robbie screaming as the egg sandwich goes to the street. It's like, that's awesome. Like, that's great. Like, yeah, that whole thing was fun. And I appreciated it for telling you how it's made. So if you want to make it or try to make it and eat it and see how it tastes, they'll do that. Because there's so many times where movies will talk about food and you don't know how to make it.
Exactly.
And it looks delicious.
I love when I do that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's one of those things where they could do that because it plays to the audience and they're just like, hey, here's how to make it.
My biggest pet peeve, though, in movies, Home Alone does this. I'm trying to think of other movies that do it.
Yeah.
I hate it when they make food, something happens and they don't eat it. And they walk away.
Yeah.
Bugs me. But I don't know why.
Kevin making his Stouffer's mac and cheese and then realizing, yeah, oh, movie. Hey, I have to leave and I can't eat this. Every father, every father running out of time for breakfast in the morning.
It happened in Zodiac too, as well. Like the guy was eating a club sandwich and then, some murder happened. The big, a clue just came upon them. Okay. Yeah. The guy walks away and Mark Ruffalo has to finish the sandwich. I'm like, dude, eat your meal. Take it with you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's the thing. That's so much wasted food on movies. You see, these breakfasts that are made for kings, eggs, waffles, and bacon, plates of bacon, and then nobody eats it, and they run away. And it's just
Brad Pitt and the Ocean 11 movies.
He finished his meal. Yeah, because he finished.
He's constantly all his eating. Meals. Love it.
Yeah,
love
and it. He finishes. He doesn't. Yeah, it's great. So yeah, that was to ask Harley Quinn. They also had some other panels. They had Shazam panel, which they talked about, the sequel. Sinbad's going to be in it because remember Sinbad? He's back. They also announced that Sinbad, the comic.
Who's he going to be?
Nobody knows. One of the big reasons is because it's that Mandela effect where they were like, oh yeah, Sinbad was in a movie called Shazam. And it was like, no, that was Shaquille O'Neal and Kazam. And it's like, are you sure? And there was a big old huge internet debate, and it's like, yes, no, Shaquille O'Neal was Kazam, who played a genie. And now, as a joke, they cast Sinbad in the next Shazam movie, just so he could say that he's in a Shazam movie. They didn't announce anything else from that movie except for Sinbad's casting and also the title of it, Shazam, The Fury of Gods. Oh, The Fury of the Gods. They announced Rocksteady, the game developer Rocksteady's newest DC game. They're the guys that created Batman Arkham Asylum games. They're making a Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League video game. That is coming out in 2022, which was a big surprise, where it's like, guys, you think 2022 is going to happen? That's adorable. basically, it's just... It's the Suicide Squad, and it looks like Brainiac has infected the Justice League, and you have to take down the Justice League. The trailer for it shows the Suicide Squad, which is Harley Quinn, King Shark, Boomerang, and Deadshot running around the city of Metropolis, killing a bunch of aliens, and then Superman appears, and they're like, oh my god, it's Superman! He's here to save us, or help us, and it then shows Superman lasering a guy to death, and the entire time they're being told by Amanda Waller that they have a contact to kill, and then somebody asks, like, oh, did they find out who the contact was? And they all point to Superman, and Boomerang's just like, oh, god damn it. Like, no, like, it. So you can tell it's going to be, like, a funny game, but at the same time, I don't know.
Now,
we'll
see. That should have been the Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That would have changed everything instead of some random witch. I'm sure she was part of the comic. I'm sure she's an important character. But Suicide Squad against Superman would have been good.
What's that damn character's name? Enchantress.
oh, God.
You just saw her dance like Rihanna in front of a beam of light. I don't know.
Terrible.
A drunk white woman at a Rihanna concert dancing. That's how I described the Enchantress in those.
And we all have seen that many, many, many times.
Yes, exactly.
Give me something new.
Just go to Coachella and you'll see that. So the last big panel of the day was Matt Reeves' The Batman panel. Aisha Taylor, hosted the panel and interviewed the director, Matt Reeves, who really went into detail about his version of Batman, basically saying that, you know, he's always been a Batman fan, and they came to him and said, hey, you want to make a Batman movie? He did. Here it is. They also talked about the HBO Max TV show that's going to be in basically in the same universe of the Batman movie. Basically, the Batman is about Robert Pattinson's Batman doing, how many times can I say Batman? Go ahead and take a shot, you'll end up dead. Every time I say Batman. So the Batman movie takes place year two of Bruce Wayne being Batman. The TV show Gotham PD is going to be year one. and the Gotham City Police Department kind of figuring out, wait, who's this Batman character? And yeah, doing that. So that's going to be kind of interesting. But they showed the trailer to it, which I got some strong, again, DC's kind of leaning into the 70s vibe, like a strong noir 70s thriller. What did you think, Edwin?
I thought it looked great.
Yeah.
The feeling I got, kind of what you were saying, is that we're finally getting a David Fincher Batman movie. It does feel like Seven.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. And Zodiac. So I think Matt Reeves does a good job kind of tapping into that, like, film noir
detective,
you know, kind of story, yeah, detective like theme and tone, which, yeah, I got immediately. As soon as you hear you see the Warner Brothers logo and you hear the duct tape,
yeah,
I'm like, oh wow, this is not a Marvel movie. This is, yeah, like, okay, they're going really, you know, I the only way I can describe it is Fincher-esque.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah,
and you know, but with Batman, so that really got me excited quite a bit. Very dark. I kind of got the feeling of, I think I saw, as the trailer went on, I got, you know, I saw Catwoman. I want to say I saw Penguin a little bit.
Towards the end. Yeah.
Yeah, I did hear voiceovers. I think some of them was the Riddler's voice being disguised.
Yeah, Paul Dano. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Alfred by Andy Serkis,
he was there.
I think,
yeah,
I want to heard.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody else, I'm not sure. But yeah, the idea of this, like, these murders going around, and I get the feeling that it's linking up, that not only is it, it's not just like murders happening. The Riddler's doing it, I feel like, purposely, because there's something that he knows. There's something that's connecting these crime bosses, the town of, I mean, Gotham, and the legacy of the Waynes.
Yeah.
Is what I'm gathering.
Yeah.
Just by the trailer. And kind of like what the Joker did, and how they kind of, spoilers if you haven't seen the Joker, how they kind of toyed with the idea that, Thomas Wayne had an affair and had a child, and Joker and Batman could have been, yeah, related.
Yeah.
I feel like they're kind of expanding on that, maybe, with this movie, where maybe the Wayne family wasn't all that great. Maybe they're responsible for, again, this is just me speculating, I don't,
yeah,
know. But I'm getting that idea because it's making it personal.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for it. The song that they chose, which is, I think, a Nirvana song.
Yeah.
Redone. So again, tapping into like 90s, like, you know, Seven, David Fincher within, you know,
yeah,
crime detective story. Yeah, it's looks great. I
kind of get the feeling that they're going to explore also kind of the psyche of Batman and Bruce Wayne and stuff, which a lot of people have brought up a good thing where it's like, here's this rich billionaire who can probably do a lot of greatness by spreading that money around, but instead dresses up like a bat and beats up people in the streets committing crime. Yeah. You see Batman just angry, and you could see that him just beating that guy down immediately, where it's just like this, you know, punch, punch, break arm, punch, punch, throw down, and then just beat the shit out of. And it's just angry and vengeful and just not, he doesn't give a shit. He's just, no, you're committing crime, you're getting done. I think we're going to explore that type of side to it that I don't think you've seen in the movies beforehand. I also, there was a thing on Twitter, somebody posted a picture of Robert Pattinson after he takes the bat, after the cowl off, and you see him with the eyeliner and stuff. And somebody said that this looks like a boy whose father took him into the city to see a marching band. which is a great lyric to My Chemical Romance. So he looks like a very emo Batman as well.
Very. I was going to say, oh, kind of does have that look of Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, just that. Yeah, exactly. That mid-2000s emo look you saw yes. from bands like My Chemical Romance. So there's a bunch of emo kids squealing with delight right now. Like, he can't, finally, a Batman I can relate to.
I will say, though, the fact that he has black eyeliner,
yeah.
the fact that you see it and you see that he puts on black eyes, it's a small little
detail like that, because every other character has that.
I like that, because watching Batman Returns, when Michael Keaton takes off
mask up.
To show Catwoman, like, who he is, like, you could tell that he was, right before he rips it off, that there was black eye, black makeup underneath.
Yeah.
And then as he rips it off, it's gone. You know, rewatching it so many times, I'm like, oh, you kind of could have just changed that, but maybe it would have looked funny.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like having, we're going to make him look even more emo.
And you saw that in like the Batman v Superman and Justice League movies and all the other Batman movies. When he removes the cowl, it's like perfect. Oh, yeah, there's no makeup on. But this, it's like, yeah, no, there's makeup. You've seen it. A little touch like that, like, kind of thing, where it's like, oh, yeah, okay, that's cool.
Again, the movie kind of, it's not like we're, oh, my God, I'm excited for this actor to play, Batman. Yeah. And I have nothing against Robert Pattinson. I think he's fine. But everything else the trailer showed is working for me. Like, the whole pieces of it is coming together. So I'm excited to see it. And it does feel different. I can't wait.
No, I hear you, and I agree with you, and all that. Like, yeah, no, I'm really, that's coming out October 2021 for now. Maybe in a theater near you. We don't know. So that ended the day of the fandom. That Batman, again, it just looks like you said, a Fincher 70s crime thriller.
Film
noir. Like, yeah, you're going to see him being a detective and such, which, hey, I'm all about. But, that's pretty much for the fandom. They concluded it. People went home bruised and battered, but still. Overall, I think it was just a strong lineup of, like, movies and stuff that they were showing, and it's actually kind of got me kind of hyped for DC for the first time in a couple of years, where it's like, yeah, all right, there's a bunch of DC movies. I'm actually, because here's the thing, I want to like these characters. I want to see a good Superman movie. I want to see a good Batman movie. I want to see a good Flash movie. I like these characters. I've seen them done better, with the animated series looks, like the old Justice League show. So it's nice that you're seeing these movies that actually look good and actually like, oh, wow, this looks like it could be fun. And yeah, and just them taking a chance with this stuff and being, if they need to be silly, they can be silly. They don't, not everything has to be dark and brooding.
Right.
So yeah, no, good for DC. I'm proud of them.
Well, if they want to do dark, they can. That can be
DC. Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's why DC. DC has it, because we don't want a campy one, because you already have Marvel doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
So if they want to do something different, by all means, do it.
But it's also depending. It also, like, I don't know. Like, I think my biggest complaint with DC was that you can do a dark and brooding version of Batman, because that's Batman. Superman, it could be interesting, but he's not really made to be dark and brooding. but if you want to tell a tale of a dark and brooding Superman, go for it. Try it. But
yeah, because whatever Zack Snyder did with Man of Steel, I mean, that movie could have been good. Could have been great. Could have been a good movie. I have problems with it. But after any movie after that, for me, each movie got worse. And now you have Zach coming back to give us the cut. Give him the cut, and hopefully that's it. Done.
Yeah.
And let's give it to somebody else.
Pin it.
Because for me, it didn't work.
Yeah, so, no, exactly. Just pin it down. It's okay. We don't have to go back. Let's move forward.
Yeah. That's why this whole show kind of feels like, man, you really want, like, and I get it, squeeze as much,
the lemon as much as possible.
Let's juice this up. But I'm to be honest, I'm done. And it's okay.
I want a Superman that has that actually wants his powers and wants to help people instead of questioning, should I do this? Like, no, I want to see, I want to be inspired. I want hope, damn it. Give me hope. I need it.
Kind of like what you were saying, DC went to Matt Reeves. Hey, we want to give you Batman. Do you have an idea for it? He got an idea. And they're running with it.
They went to James Gunn and said, hey, you have your pick of any character. He said, I want to do the Suicide Squad. Here's my idea. Okay, cool. Do it. Like, you're seeing an expansion of that. You know, you're seeing that expansion. I think
just keep doing that.
Yeah.
Not do movies by committee.
Yeah.
It's production or producers kind of like, oh, you know, five different people saying, well, we need to do this, this, and this.
Yeah,
you need to add this, and all this, and a bunch of like, no. It doesn't, for me, it doesn't work.
Yeah, no, exactly. It just, it gets, because you have to hit so many marks that the story you want to tell ends up being, sacrificed and such.
Right.
But yeah, so brighter days ahead for the DC Universe. Do you have anything else you want to talk about or anything like that? Or?
No. I was actually going to consider rewatching Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman and Justice League.
You did give a weird text to me and Daniel this weekend asking, do the youth like Batman vs. Superman and Justice League? Which, to be honest, and I'll tell you what I told you, which was, the kids, they liked Justice League and they liked Aquaman. But they aren't enthralled with them. They much rather prefer a Marvel movie over those movies. I asked them, like, if you had a choice between a new Justice League movie or a Marvel movie, they went, oh, Marvel, like, without a doubt. And I asked, okay, would you rather see a Baby Yoda movie or a Justice League movie? And, of course, they chose Baby Yoda. So they like those characters, but, again, I think... Yeah, the kids don't really gravitate towards those characters really that much, because that's another thing. I think, and then I think that tweet from Zack Snyder where he's like, this is for grown-ups. I think that's what they kind of see their audience as, which is fine. You know, you want to do that? Great. Do it. You're doing it with Suicide Squad. You're doing it with the Batman, obviously, because that's something you're not going to see in a McDonald's Happy Meal anytime soon.
Right.
So, yeah. Batman Returns had a bunch of fucking, and that's what kind of scared DC off for a bit, because they went from Tim Burton, because they were like, hey, we're trying to sell Happy Meal toys. What are you doing? Like, the first scene of the movie is a family dumping a baby down a sewer.
Well, what would you do with, like, a fish baby?
I mean, you know what? I don't know. I'm not in their shoes. I can't judge, you know?
Then, well, there you go.
You're right. I'm sorry, Paul Rubens. Exactly. I'm sorry. Well, I think that'll do it for us. We survived the fandom, so you guys didn't have to. Well, I survived it. I want to say I am a hero, but, you know, that's not for me to decide. Anyway, if you want to, follow us on Instagram at Rewind Replay Record. Where you can get updates whenever we episodes drop and whatnot, and also just reach out to us and say hi. You can also be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast listening device, service like Spotify, iTunes, or anchor.fm/rewindreplayrecord. And tell your friends about us. You know, you like it? Tell your friends. You know, we like talking to people. I think our estimated audience is 10 people, and we appreciate each and every one of you. So thank you. 10. Yeah. Other than that, Edwin, anything else?
I want to just say two things. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian.
Yes.
Who are you?
What do you mean?
Who are you?
I don't know. I'm Batman? Is that what you want me to do? I don't know. Is this a bit? I don't know. Who am I?
You can cut it to say I'm Batman and cut. I was hoping you would say justice or revenge.
We probably should have planned that beforehand instead of just...
I'll text you next time. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's fine. I'm going to leave all this in because this sounds hilarious. But so what I'll do is say... We got to have meetings, man. We got to have meetings before this stuff.
We met for like 5 hours. Okay.
And I was drunk. Anyway, that'll do it for us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. And remember, like I said before, be bad and watch shit.